Congressman Mike Boss is on the other end of the line. How's things in D.C. this morning, Mike?
Well, Tom, we're busy trying to get through, and I believe we're going to pass a CR that will stop a government shutdown once again. I prefer, understand that when we talk about this from the House, we have to talk at it from a way we already passed the budget over to the Senate. It's the Senate that's holding up the budget over there, but we continue to send them continuing resolutions so the government won't shut down. But what we're going to be doing this week is, I believe, the CR that we're working on should last through February 16th. Will allow the president to get to the State of Union speech, then come back together. But some interesting things that will be in this CR that actually will, one, make it to where almost every Republican will vote for it, and I believe Democrats will want to vote for it. At least I hope so. They're saying that they won't vote for it unless it has a DACA fix. But the reality is now with DACA, that's been covered by the courts. But what is in this one is it funds CHIP, which is the child health care plans, which several states are running out right now. It funds CHIP for a six-year plan, which actually, when you run the numbers, saves us money, and it also then gets rid of the medical device tax, or doesn't get rid of it. It actually postpones the implementation of the medical device tax, which needs to be got rid of, but we can't get enough votes on to get rid of it.
Mike, right there, we want to stop there right there, because that's another component when President Trump talks about disassembling Obamacare. This medical tax is one of those components.
Right.
Taking that out just like it did the mandate earlier.
Right. What the medical device tax does is, if a medical device is created, you get a 2.5% tax on it. As soon as it's purchased, you get a secondary 2.5% tax on it. When the doctor uses it, you get a 2.5% tax on it. And when you as a customer is billed, you get a 2.5% tax. So it is an unbelievable, overburdensome, and can stifle job growth and reduce the amount of people that invest in technology and everything like that as far as moving forward with our medical advances. So we're extending that non-implementation in this bill for 2 years. We also get rid for 2 years or stop the implementation of the Cadillac tax. And Cadillac tax is what we refer to as it's referring to if you work for a company and you negotiated when you come in, whether through a union or through individual negotiation, and you have a health care plan, and it's a good health care plan that is above a standard set by the ACA, then you have to pay an extra tax above and beyond that. So that really is an aggressive move after the workers of this nation. And so we delayed that for implementation. Like I said, we would like to get rid of it, but in this bill. So that's why I believe that we've got enough people on board with this. We'll move forward. We will pass that by the end of the week. But that doesn't stop the real, or doesn't deal with the real issue that we have to deal with, which is passing a budget that is in the Senate. We have passed our budget over to the Senate. We passed all but 12 budget bills, did it on time last year. The Senate needs to take it up and take it up immediately. And then if they have partisanship and the Democrats seem to want to shut it down and not pass it on that, then that should be on them. But as of right now, they're not even taking it up.
All right. Now, what we're talking about on them is the Democrats saying, we're not going to vote for this. We're not going to have any part of it. We're going to do everything we can to stop it because we don't see what we want when it comes to Dreamers.
Right. And let me explain that in great detail, okay? If you remember last week, the president sat down, and I'm going to tell you, I wish he'd do this more often, because then you could, it would hold people's feet to the fire. For an hour and a half, they sat in front of national news media negotiating on four principles that they agreed on this DACA fix, okay? And it's not just a DACA fix. It's border security. Two is DACA fix. Three is stop or shrink chain migration. It can't go to the third and fourth and fifth cousin. It's one thing with mom and dad. It's one thing with children and spouses. That's different. We can look at that. And all of these things were on the table. Then the other one was removing or fixing the lottery system. The lottery system is a broken system. It's got to be repaired, because what this does is this helps. And here's another thing, Tom. When they're using two very different words, okay, when the arguments are going on here, DACA is not the Dreamers Act. You need to know that. And DACA is a whole lot more expensive than the Dreamers Act. And if you pass DACA before getting border security, it's even more expensive than that. Because what DACA does is it says that even if you're here illegally, even if you're here illegally and you're under a certain age, and that's not being cruel or anything like that, the thing is, the ones that are here now, yes, I want to use DACA to fix this problem, and I don't want to send a person back to a country where they were barely have any memory of or anything like that. However, and none of us do. However, you can't cure the problem in the future until you people are coming to this country, migrating to this country legally. And that's what we've got to do. We do not encourage, from here on out, illegal entrance into the country, and then take and try to go through these same problems. There has to be a sensible process put in place. Now, the bad thing was, after this DACA meeting, which was a very good DACA meeting where both parties were together, they were in front of the public. Now then we go back and they start working, and all of a sudden certain things, because certain members on the Democrat Senate side felt that, okay, they weren't getting, they weren't sure that's what they really wanted, after they said in public that that was what they wanted. So I believe, and let me tell you my statement on what the president supposedly said in that room. I sent out a release, offensive and inflammatory comments, regardless of who says them, are wrong, and make it that much harder to find solutions that secure our borders and fix our broken immigration system. We have to keep working together and simply cannot be distracted from achieving this important goal. That was my press comment. Now, let me tell you something else that has now happened that I found out about, and I wasn't watching it. I had someone else tell me what had happened. I guess now Chuck Schumer got on one of the late night television programs and was asked, well, you know, you, because of these comments, you the president, you're, once again, you're claiming is racist. Or they said, well, he's racist. How can he show he's not racist? Well, he can pass the Clean DACA or Clean Dreamers Act. Listen to what he said. He passes the Clean Dreamers Act. No border security. No. Now I believe there was a move, a set move, to use any comment that was made in that inner meeting to entrap the president in a situation where they can take the media and beat the snot out of him. Because I'm going to tell you, I guess it bothers me that Lindsey Graham, one, said almost the exact same thing about a year and a half ago, but instead of using S-hole, he used hell-hole. And then also, whenever you've got Dick Durbin out there saying, oh, chain migration is a racist term, because you talk about chains and you talk about, but yet he used that term during the Obama administration. So there's some games being played here that I hope the American people, especially the Illinois 12, wake up to. All right. That it's more about them advancing a cause that is very, very dangerous for this nation in passing. What they consider the Dreamers Act without border security. If we want to work on DACA, we must have the border secure.
All right. Now, there was another edge to this that I was a little vague on, Mike, and I was hoping for your help. The president in a tweet says, you know, tying the Dreamer and DACA stuff in the vote to that it hurts the military.
You're right.
How does that hurts the military? How?
I'd have to check that. I said you're right faster than I should have even listened. What, unless it is a budgetary means because of the increased cost, that then we can't use that money to, because we have a front load on the military that we're trying to get. We're trying to increase the cap on DOD budget because we are way, way, way underfunded. And we are not a force in readiness. Now, unless he believes that if all of a sudden we increase the cap, as the Senate moves forward with the budget, they will shift that money over to secure the Dreamers and not use it for military expense. That's the only thing I could guess on that, Tom.
Okay. All right. I was kind of curious about this. Now, when it comes to this, I mean, my final thought on this is the Democrats, they don't really want to shut the government down January 19th over people in illegal immigration, do they?
I think they want to just shut it down, and here's why. Polling shows that if the government shuts down, most times that we go into a shutdown, Republicans get blamed for it, and Democrats climb in the polls. It's as simple as that.
Right. Okay.
They say they don't want to shut down, but they want to shut down. You know, and so we have to stay together and actually move forward and continue to fund the government. And we've got to, for the sake of the military. We are in some very tough times in this world. You don't have to look past the front page of the newspapers, highlights being highlighted on the radio or highlights on television to understand exactly how tough and what all is going on in this world. And if we don't do everything we can to make sure that the government is funded, especially our military, that we're operating at the best strength we possibly can to send a clear message to those who would harm us, we're very, very foolish.
And is that why you voted the way you voted on FISA?
Yeah, you bet.
Because
you
of the threat. Now, this morning, when I was doing some reading,
there are certain factors when you've got this job that you have to realize, and then figure out off of that there are principles you hold to, and I will argue and fight and everything like that. But, folks, if we don't have and because I know we have some great people, whether it is Maddox or whether it is our commander in chief or our head of Joint Chiefs of Staff. These are respected men and the women that serve around them as well, who know exactly what we're facing in these situations. We've got Nikki Haley sitting where she is. She's doing a great job. But unless we make sure that they have the levers they need in a strong military force, all other issues that we got out here can quickly become very, 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 very minor.
When it comes to the Illinois, you noticed yesterday Illinois saying they're not going to send the voter rolls and information to the interstate voter cross-check, saying there's not enough security concern to make sure the information is held secretly and properly. You know, voter fraud is still something that people are talking about a year after the election, quite literally a year after, and here we are. Now in the state of Illinois, going doing everything they can to be not part of this cross-check program to verify people.
And if there's ever been a state that needs to check their voter security, it's the state of Illinois.
Right.
And it is there are several counties around the state. You know, I run in a few of them, and they I always say that, you know, Chicago. They say there's voter fraud, and they say, oh, no, there isn't. No, there isn't. But there is, and we know it, and we caught it. However, there's other states around this or other counties around the state that not only are they doing the voter fraud, they're proud and will tell you they're doing it. So for any time, and I dealt with that in the state of Illinois as well.
Right.
When we would try to do things, everything from, you know, I believe me, and I'm no longer there to make that decision, but I believe voter ID in the state of Illinois, photo ID is and should be a part of our state law.
You know, this immigration that we were talking about earlier, that yesterday the Department of Justice and Department of Homeland Security releasing information, 3 out of 4 people convicted in terrorist acts came through the visa system or foreign-born. That you saw this report yesterday.
Right, right. And that goes to the overall immigration system that needs reform. The vetting system must occur. And yes, you're right, because as a heightened terrorism, as these come through, so yes.
Right.
And let me tell you something else that's vitally important, because you brought it up a while ago when we were talking about FISA. The Homeland Security, well, it's basically where they do the checks on foreign, and we made sure that there is a way that if a person is a U.S. citizen, that they are still protected under that rule. But that being said, I was able, on foreign soil, and I won't tell you where, but on foreign soil, I was able to visit one of the places where we have every military branch, the Homeland Security, and DEA and FBI members that are there monitoring communications that are occurring in those hotbeds of terrorist activities. And they do an amazing job. And they shut down more stuff, Tom, and people listening, that could be so deadly, so much more deadly than 9/11. And it has stopped before you even know that it was all being planned. And these are the people, and that's the money that puts it out there and makes it happen.
Congressman,
and it is amazing.
Congressman Mike Boston, Washington, D.C. And, of course, we're going to be watching the January 19th date. You know, and you're talking about you feel this is continuing a resolution 1 month. A lot of people had hoped for longer than that. The Democrats, right. I know, had said, no, we need to get this done. You saw that rhetoric now. You know, it's just bewildering. It's just a blizzard of different kind of words, and you wonder what's the point sometimes. But I'm kind of curious, what's next on the agenda? What do you see big that people aren't talking about and they should be?
Well, on the local level that we need to, well, first off, I told you about the military funding. We have to raise the cap. We must, you know, so that it doesn't fall under sequester. When we start talking about military funding, we need to, and both Democrats and Republicans agree to this. Unfortunately, each one wants to throw their own lever in, and it won't come out clean. But I say that Democrats are going to want more on the domestic side, and they're going to want to increase in cap somewhere else. The reality is that our military needs this now. They needed it a year ago. They needed it 3 years ago, but they need it now. And we will be moving forward with that. The other things that are on the back burner, but we're still going to be using. Working on is possible welfare reform, as well as we will also be working towards the infrastructure bill. Right. And then, of course, the infrastructure bill, the spending of it's not the hard product. The hard product is coming up with the revenue stream.
And basically, the word for the day is that you're waiting for the Senate to get up off their ass.
Basically, yeah. If they get rid of... if they would get rid of that cloture rule, they'd actually be able to get something done, and actually the people from this United States could understand what they're doing.
All right, because the Senate seems to be where a lot of stuff gets, it's a clog in the pipe there. Congressman Mike Bost, who sounds like you're recovering from the flu or the cold, too.
I'm right in the middle of it, but,
Well, then you're heavily medicated better than I was.
When you travel in a capsule twice a week, that has people in there just coughing and hacking you can actually catch that.
No doubt in my mind.